Okay, so picture this. You're in custody. The cops just finished reading you your Miranda rights. What comes next?
You're probably thinking you're headed straight to see a judge, right?
Right, to be arraigned.
Yeah.
But what about the time before that? Like, you're in custody, but not yet in front of a judge. What are your rights during those crucial early hours?
Yeah, that's a really interesting area where the practicalities of law enforcement and individual rights kind of collide. There's this whole system of rules that's supposed to protect you, but also let the investigation proceed, you know?
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. We're tackling a big one, a Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court case called Commonwealth v. Rosario. And heads up for anyone who knows their Mass case law, we're talking about the 1996 decision about arraignment delays, not the earlier arson case.
Oh yeah, the 96 Rosario case, that's a landmark decision. It really changed the way we handle pre-arraignment procedures here in Massachusetts. Basically, it boils down to this fundamental tension: the state wanting to investigate crimes effectively versus your right to a speedy trial, which means appearing before a judge ASAP.
Totally. And for our listeners out there, especially those of you wrestling with criminal procedure in law school, today's goal is pretty straightforward. We're dissecting what's called the Bright Line Rule that came out of Commonwealth v. Rosario. This rule is all about what statements you can use in court that were made before arraignment. It's super important to understand because it's about how the legal system tries to balance those two things we just talked about: public safety and individual rights right after someone is arrested.
Right, it's striking that balance, isn't it?
So, like, what even happened in this case? What led to this big decision?
Good question. Let's start with the basics. Why was this Rosario guy even in front of the SJC?
Okay, so we've got Hector Gonzalez, also known as Hippolito Rosario. He was arrested on some outstanding warrants: assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, that kind of thing. So you'd think, okay, next stop, arraignment, right?
Right, you'd think so. Usually, after an arrest, especially on a warrant, the person should be brought before a judge without any unnecessary delay. Massachusetts Rule of Criminal Procedure 7, it actually spells that out pretty clearly.
But here's where things get interesting. Instead of taking Rosario straight to be arraigned on those assault charges, the police start asking him about a whole other set of crimes, totally unrelated burglaries. And guess what? He confesses.
And that's what really makes this case unique, right? The interrogation wasn't about the charges he was originally arrested for. It was about all these other alleged crimes.
Exactly. So fast forward, those burglary charges end up in court, and the judge makes a huge decision. They tossed out the confessions, their reasoning. The police purposely delayed arraigning Rosario on the assault warrant so they could grill him about these burglaries and get him to confess. The lower court basically saw that as messing with the legal process.
That's what kicked it up to the SJC, right? They had to answer a huge question. If police intentionally stall an arraignment to interrogate you and get a confession about different unrelated crimes, does that automatically mean the confession can't be used in court in Massachusetts?
And the SJC, after looking at all sides, delivered a clear answer, which is where that bright line rule comes in. They said, nope, Rosario's burglary confessions were actually admissible. And by doing that, they created a new, very specific standard for using any statements made before arraignment.
Yep. They came up with what we call the 6-hour safe harbor. What that means is, if you make a statement voluntarily within 6 hours of being arrested, doesn't matter if it's day or night, it's generally going to be admissible in court. And remember, in Rosario's case, he did get his Miranda warnings before they started questioning him. That was a big factor in deciding if his statements were actually voluntary.
Okay, so there's a 6-hour window, but what happens if the questioning goes longer than that? Like, what are the rules then?
That's where the other half of the Rosario rule kicks in. Any statement you get after those initial 6 hours, it can't be used unless the person in custody, the defendant, clearly, knowingly, and voluntarily gives up their right to a quick arraignment. Like, they have to say, "I understand I can see a judge now, but I'm choosing to keep talking to the police." And that waiver, it has to be in writing or recorded.
Oh, so it's not just continuing to question someone. They have to actually document that the person understands their right to be arraigned but is choosing to waive it.
Exactly. No ambiguity allowed. It has to be freely given, no pressure, no tricks, and it has to be official, either signed by the defendant or on a recording. This whole documented waiver thing for statements made after 6 hours, that was a major change in Massachusetts law because of Rosario.
So let's dig into why the court made this decision. What was their logic behind this 6-hour rule and needing a waiver after that?
Justice Wilkins, who wrote the majority opinion, was really clear about the court's reasoning. They get that you have to protect a defendant's rights, especially right after an arrest when they might be vulnerable. But they also get that police need to investigate crimes, and sometimes that means having some time to question someone, you know, getting information, moving the case forward.
So they're trying to balance these competing interests.
Absolutely, finding that middle ground. And Justice Wilkins actually pointed out the problems with the old way of doing things, where they look at each case separately and decide if the delay in arraignment was reasonable given the circumstances.
Yeah.
The court said, that's too subjective, it's unpredictable, and it just leads to tons of legal fights about what reasonable even means. The six-hour bright line rule was supposed to clear all that up.
Makes sense, going from a subjective standard to a clear, objective time limit. But you mentioned this wasn't a unanimous decision. Chief Justice Liakos actually dissented, right? What was his problem with the rule?
Chief Justice Liakos had some major issues with the rule. His main argument was all about Massachusetts Rule of Criminal Procedure 7. Remember the one we talked about earlier? The one that says a person who's arrested needs to see a judge without unreasonable delay. The dissent was basically saying that intentionally delaying that arraignment, even if you get a confession within 6 hours or get a waiver later, goes against the whole point of that rule.
So he's saying it's the delay itself that's the problem, not just when the confession happens.
Exactly. He worried that allowing waivers after 6 hours would basically weaken the protections that prompt arraignment is supposed to provide. Like, what's to stop police from dragging out the time before arraignment, hoping to get a confession, and then getting a waiver after they've had hours to question someone? That could put a lot of pressure on the suspect. The dissent's view was, prevent the delay in the first place, and if they delay anyway, any evidence they get from that delay should be thrown out.
Wow. Yeah, that's an important point. It shows how hard it is to make rules that are clear but also fair. And we also had a concurring opinion from Justice O'Connor, didn't we? What was his take?
Justice O'Connor agreed with the majority that in this specific case, Rosario's confessions were okay because they happened within those first few hours. But he agreed with the dissent about those post-6-hour waivers. Justice O'Connor argued that letting people waive their rights after 6 hours goes against the whole idea of preventing pressure and unlawful detention. Like, if the whole point of prompt arraignment is to protect you when you're most vulnerable, then letting you waive that right after a long interrogation defeats the purpose.
So he thought there should be an even stricter rule. Anything after 6 hours is out, waiver or no waiver.
Exactly. And that's what makes this so interesting. Even the judges on the SJC couldn't agree entirely on how to balance things. So you see, this whole issue is really complex and debated.
So much nuance. Okay, if we want to simplify this for our listener, what are the practical takeaways from Rosario? Like, what questions would a court ask when deciding if a statement made before arraignment is admissible?
It comes down to two main questions. First, was the statement made within 6 hours of the arrest, and was it given voluntarily? If yes to both, the statement's probably fine. Second question, if it was made after 6 hours, did the defendant knowingly, intelligently, and voluntarily waive their right to a prompt arraignment?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, that waiver needs to be in writing or recorded.
Got it. That lays it out really clearly. So for all you law students listening, why is this so important? How does this case and this rule actually affect what happens in the real world of criminal justice and your future careers?
Well, Rosario matters for a few reasons. First, it gives law enforcement clear guidelines about questioning people before they're arraigned. The 6-hour safe harbor gives them a definite time frame where they can usually use voluntary statements in court. That's helpful because the old reasonableness standard was a lot more vague.
So it makes things more predictable for them.
Absolutely. But for defense attorneys, Rosario can make things trickier. Challenging statements made within those first 6 hours gets harder, even if there might have been a delay on purpose. Now the focus shifts to proving that the statement wasn't voluntary, rather than just arguing about the delay itself. It's kind of a trade-off. Clearer rules for everyone, but maybe less wiggle room for defense attorneys to challenge things that happen in those first 6 hours.
Okay, I see. What about interrogations that go on longer than 6 hours? What should future lawyers keep in mind about that waiver requirement?
Understanding what makes a waiver valid, knowing, intelligent, and voluntary is super important. Was the defendant actually aware of their right to see a judge right away? Did anyone pressure, force, or trick them into signing the waiver or agreeing to keep talking? Those are the questions defense attorneys will be asking. The prosecution has to prove that the waiver was legit.
So that makes sense. Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into Commonwealth v. Rosario, what are the big things our listeners should take away, and what are some of the broader questions this case raises?
One important thing to remember is where the Rosario rule comes from. was created by the SJC, the state's highest court, using their power to supervise the Massachusetts courts. That means it's a court-made procedural rule, not something in the Constitution. That difference is big because it means the state legislature could change or even get rid of this rule in the future.
So it's not set in stone. The legislature could step in and revise it.
Exactly. And remember those different opinions we talked about from the SJC justices? That shows that there's this constant tension in law between wanting clear, easy-to-follow rules for law enforcement and making sure everyone gets a fair trial and their rights are protected no matter what. The dissenting justice is worrying about delays and the concurring justice not liking waivers after 6 hours. That all highlights this ongoing debate.
Okay, so that's a good point to leave our listeners with. How does this bright line rule from Rosario affect how defense attorneys approach challenging confessions? Does having a clear timeline help them, or does it actually make things harder because they can't argue against delays within those first 6 hours as easily?
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. Commonwealth v. Rosario is still a fundamental case in Massachusetts, especially when it comes to what happens before arraignment. It lays out a clear system, but like those debates within the court showed us, finding the right balance between good police work and protecting individual rights, that's an area of law that's always changing and always crucial.
Absolutely. So on that note, I think we're going to wrap things up. But before we go, here's something to chew on. Considering those dissenting and concurring opinions, do you think this six-hour rule with those post-six-hour waivers is really the best way to balance things? Does it truly protect due process, or could there be some unintended consequences that make things unfair in some cases? It's definitely worth thinking about as you navigate the legal world.
I think that's a great point to leave on, for sure. Lots to consider.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
My pleasure. Always a good discussion.